the 146th Psalm tonight, the 146th Psalm. We'll be there for a little while. I love singing these old hymns. I love the stories that are therein. It has enough of the gospel message within them, many of them, to get an individual saved. You talk about the blood of Christ, the fountain filled, and so on, and you can talk to an individual about why it was blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, and so on. And man, the hymns are born oftentimes out of tragedies and broken hearts of people, oftentimes out of elation over the fact that God has intervened and taken care of people in dangerous times, and just a wonderful book of hymns. And many of them are very old. Some of them are newer. We have some Gaither hymns, I think, in there that are modern times, that are good, and various others. But nevertheless, wonderful songs in the hymns and wonderful stories in the hymns. I'm going to be using one of those tonight for the title of the message. And it's an old Fanny Crosby hymn called Praise Him, Praise Him. And we find in the 146th Psalm, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. And then, in the 147th Psalm, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely, means suitable. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. And the last verse, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Father, our God, our Savior, our guide, the Spirit of truth, we ask you now in this hour to enlighten us with your word, to show us how great our praises are before you, how our singing unto you rejoices your heart and your soul, and encourages us. I pray you give grace to preach, grace to listen, and grace to apply all that we hear and all that we read. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Praise Him, praise Him. Fanny Crosby was born in 1820 and died in 1915. One of the quotes that I have tonight is by S.T. Coleridge. And notice what he says. I like this, so listen. Christianity is not a theory or speculation, but a life. Not a philosophy of life, but a living presence. The realization can turn any gloom into a song. Quote. Hey, that's what we've always said. I believe it was Oswald Chambers who said that the Christian life is an impossibility. You can't live it without the help and the aid of the Holy Spirit of God. And here's Coleridge who says, Christianity is not something in name only. It's not something that we cannot draw strength from, because it is not about an organization. It is about a person. His name is Jesus, and we worship our God. Christianity is not a theory or speculation, but it's a life lived through the power of God, by the person of God, in everyday troubles, everyday sorrows, everyday difficulties. It's about how we deal with those difficulties, casting our all upon Him, and He giving us the wisdom and the grace to meet those head on. Christianity is not a theory or a speculation, but a life. Not a philosophy of life, but a living presence. This realization can turn any gloom into a song. Praise is our Lord's most righteous due. It's not an option for a Christian to give or not to give praise. It's a command to praise the Lord. I've done this for you. The least you can do for me is praise me, he says. Praise him. And boy, did Fanny Crosby write a great hymn that we'll look at in just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 13, I find verse 15 and 16. We find it says, by him, therefore, let us offer. And we're talking about Jesus Christ. And in chapter number 13, we're talking about the Lord as our helper. He's in our very life. Verse 5, let our lifestyle, let our conversation be without covetousness, and so on. And then he says in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with strange doctrine. Know the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. It has all the answers therein. And he goes on and he talks about the sacrifices of those bodies, of those animals in Old Testament worship, were but a type and a symbol of the coming Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself. That those bullocks and those dove and those lambs and their sacrifice and their blood could not take away our sin. They were not to remit us of sin, but they were a focal point of being shown a picture that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would one day come and satisfy all of justice of our sins. And so he talks about it, and he talks about Jesus giving his own blood in verse 12. And then he says in verse 15, by him, that is, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. To do good, to have a kindly action or to give to others. Also that word communicate means literally to share, to communicate with others, to share with others, to be helpful in those ways. You're showing the person of Christ inside of you. But the main focal point here is that we continually give him the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. It's not enough just to be thankful one time a year during the Thanksgiving season, but it should be daily and weekly that we give him the praise of our lips and giving him thanks for what he's done for us. I think when we meditate on where we've come from and where we are at present in our own personal lives, as a child of God, we cannot do anything but give thanks. Man, I'm so thankful for God's leading and God's direction and God's provision again and again and again in the little things that's prayed, in the big things that's prayed. God has answered, and God has shown me that he's interested in my life. He's interested in your life, no matter what the situation might be. There's nothing too small that you cannot pray about. There's nothing too big, too large that you cannot ask. And God said, I will hear. It is praise that we should be giving our Lord continuously. I mean, when we come and yell, sometimes my body doesn't feel so well. And I told someone sometime, I said, I can preach a lot better than I can sing. And I don't mean quality, so don't amen it. But I mean, sometimes in singing, I can't get my breath. What do you mean, yeah? Has it happened to you?
Absolutely.
I don't think you ever have a problem with it.
Well,
there's times I can't breathe when I sing, but I can preach. Somebody said, well, what's a deal? How can you preach? It seems a lot harder. I said, no, I can stop and breathe anytime I want to. Singing sometimes is difficult for me, and especially with my hearing problem. But singing, I was singing, my wife will attest to the fact that I was singing on the way to church tonight. I didn't know the whole song, but I just knew a few words, but it sure did my soul good. I got it all wrong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the kingdom of God. And then I realized it's the family of God. The song says, I'm a part of the family of God. Thank God. I got it right before I got in the parking lot. But he knows what I mean, and I think anything that you sing to God, he enjoys. We worry about being on, what is it, keys? Yeah. We worry about being on key. God just is thankful that we sing in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I want you to think about some things, four things. Number one, our daily sacrifice of praise. Our daily sacrifice of praise should include songs for whom Christ is our blessed Redeemer. Oh yeah, blessed Redeemer. Seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. See, I get part of it. But boy, am I thankful, because sometimes mowing the yard or weed eating, you know, that song comes into my soul and I'm so thankful that he died for me. I don't know the whole song, but I can repeat what I know and it's heartfelt and he receives it. And I get a blessing from it. The 147th Psalm, verse 1, we read a moment ago. He says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is good to sing praises. Listen, who wrote that? God did. He wrote it down through a human being as he inspired him to write it and say, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant and praise is comely. It means praise is suitable. Praise becometh, is becoming. Praise is beautiful as we sing it unto our God. Our daily sacrifice of praise should include songs. As we think about Christ being our blessed Redeemer, or the fact that he's coming again, the fountain that was filled with blood, his precious blood shed for our sins. We should praise God for all his daily blessings. I'm thankful I was able to get up out of bed this morning. Literally. We should praise him for the trials of life. Oftentimes they're blessings in disguise. And I don't like trials any more than you do. I don't like hardships. I don't like problems. I don't like difficulties. I don't like surprises. I don't like to wake up in the midst of the furnace. But I'm thankful that he walks with me in it. I'm thankful that he goes with me and holds my hand. I'm thankful that I am mature enough to realize that if I'm in the storm or I'm in the furnace, there's something God is trying to teach or train or get me to do. And I have to be thankful for that, because whatever it is in the training process is for my betterment. And the same with you. The pain is real in the midst of the trials, is it not? The fire is hot and it burns. But thanks be unto God, He won't let it go too far that we're consumed in the midst of it. He knows when to turn it off. Praise Him, praise Him. Our daily sacrifice of praise in the midst of the trials of life that many are going through now, and some of the most difficult times they've ever had. Our daily sacrifice of praise should praise Him for His leading in ways oftentimes yet to be experienced. The 32nd Psalm in verse number 8, you find it as the psalmist, actually in verse number 7, he says, the psalmist says, "Thou," speaking about God, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Wait a minute. Songs of deliverance, what is that? Don't read over it. Don't skip it without finding out what it means. What are songs of deliverance? It's songs of hope. As we read the Bible, we find that Israel got themselves into a lot of troubles. And God always got them out. He's the God of all hope. We find people who stood upon their principles of not bowing to an idol, not serving a false god, and sometimes it cost them their lives. Sometimes they were threatened with a furnace, or they were threatened with a den of lions, or they were threatened, their families were threatened. "We'll slay them in front of your eyes." But they never bowed, and they never gave up. They kept focused on God, and God delivered them. He didn't deliver them all. Some were martyred, but they were delivered in death. Absent from the body, present with the Lord immediately. Wonderful. He says, songs of deliverance. In verse 8, he says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." That's God. That's what He does for us. We should praise Him for that. Look at the 40th Psalm. Look at verse number 3. Psalm 40. "He hath put a new song in my mouth." What is that song? "Even praise unto our God." Why do you praise God? "He delivered me. He saved me. I'm His child now." That's something to sing about. Thank God for it. "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man," that's happy, "is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." We're in difficult times in which we live. We've never been this way before. This is all new. We've never lived like this before. It's strange. It's different. We ought to pray for the wisdom of God to deal with it. Pray for the person of God to deliver us from it and to help us along the way. Fanny Crosby wrote that hymnal. I believe it's in your hymn book on page 566. I want you to look at it with me. 566 in our hymnal. By the way, that reminds me, while we're here, we got these hymnals, brand new hymnals, a few years ago from the North Valley Publications, which is from that church in Santa Clara, California, and a good independent Baptist church. And by the way, they have orders from the state not to open. They cannot worship. They cannot sing. They cannot have a choir, and yet they are doing it along with other churches. And I read the hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines and penalties that have been placed upon them. And recently they were not allowed to use an adjoining parking lot for which they had a lease agreement. Now the city is shutting it down. And won't allow them to park there. And it won't be long before they'll be turning out the lights and turning off all the utilities. That is ungodly in America. I don't care how bad the pandemic gets. Look, have you listened to the latest statistics? Here we go again. Isn't it something like 200,000 people were supposed to die by in America because of that? It's recently come out that in reality, only 6% were actually by COVID-19, by the virus. Only 6%. Da-da-da-da-da. If I do Arkansas math correctly, that's something like 12,000 people. Out of how many hundreds of million in America? Why, that's not even hardly anything to put up with. And yet the politicians are using it to their advantage, you know, for their purpose, and I hate it. But look, these churches are being penalized, and it could come to Texas, and it could come to Midland, and what would you do? Draw the line in the sand. Who is on the Lord's side? I'm praying for those churches in California, and I'm praying for those pastors. Thank God for them. They don't have a political agenda. They're not trying to use the publicity. They're not trying to make a name for themselves. They're just tired of sitting there when this is not nearly as bad as people said it was going to be. And now I think, I've always called him the little Nazi, you know, the little pandemic doctor that was speaking at the White House for so long, and now he's out of the picture. He keeps on preaching, we're in an era of pandemic now, and this is going to go on from now on. Well, it might if man turns it loose. But the fact of the matter is, God's still on the throne, and we need to worship Him. God's still on the throne, and we still need to praise Him. And Fanny Crosby wrote that great hymnal so many years ago, 566. It says, praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him. Highest archangels in glory, strength and honor, give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. I sense that. I sense the presence of God. I sense His leadership. Notice the second verse. Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him. Jesus, the crucified. Sound His praises. Jesus, who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Third verse. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Man, there's a hymn that will never go out of date. There's a hymn that's just as applicable now as it was when she wrote it. Blind Fanny Crosby wrote between 8,000 and 9,000 hymn texts, more than any other writer of hymns. This song, Praise Him, Praise Him, was first written in 1869 for a Sunday school hymnal. Much like we would say a Bible school song. She wrote it for a Sunday school situation in 1869. Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, wonderful. Think about scripture for praise. Think about the last things that I give you. In the 71st Psalm, Psalm 71, look at verse 22 and 23. I will also praise Thee with the psaltery. Even Thy truth, O my God, unto Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of Thy righteousness all the day long. Wonderful songs of praise, singing scriptures unto Him. What a Mighty God We Serve is one of our little choruses that we sing. I know there's a whole song that goes with that, but all I know is, what a mighty God we serve. Huh? And it's wonderful. Sometimes I break out in that and I can actually get all the words. And sometimes I just go blank, but God knows. Praise Him. Praise Him in song. Praise Him with your words. Praise Him with your life. Praise Him with your testimony. We ought to be talking about the greatness of Almighty God and the soon return of Jesus Christ, His Son, rather than being focused on all of the bad things that are happening in America at present time. It does not surprise me. Paul wrote, in the last days, savage times shall come. If we're not there, I don't know what these are called. These certainly aren't kindergarten days. These certainly aren't love thy neighbor days, when they riot and throw firebombs upon policemen and bricks and all those other kinds of things. It's a riot. It's horrible. It's savage. We should be praising Him and thanking Him that He hasn't forgotten us and He's coming again to receive us unto Himself. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and then I'm going to Jeremiah as I close. Revelation chapter 1, John, sometimes called the Revelator. John, on the Isle of Patmos, was banned there and cast there to die, a slow, cruel death after being boiled in oil, and it didn't kill him. So Caesar had him thrown on the Isle of Patmos. And Jesus had another reason for him coming there, because the resurrected Christ appeared unto John and gave him these words of the book Revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Christ in the last days. But notice what John says in the first chapter, in verse 5 and verse 6. John's writing to the seven churches of Asia about him, He who is and was and is to come. Verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Who hath washed us from our sins in His own blood." I've said it before. I'm going to say it again, and you'll hear me say it again every time I come here. The word "washed" is from the word luo, and it means to bathe the whole body as a opposed to wetting some part or washing some part, but it also means to loose us. You can wash with a certain detergent and not get all the stain out. It was just washed. Most of it got clean, but part of it didn't. But when you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, He looses us from our sins in His own blood. Every sin, every spot, every blemish has been covered by His blood, and we're loosed from it, and He takes it upon Himself, and He died for us. That's enough reason to praise Him right there. If you turn to Revelation chapter 5, you see part of the story that happens after the rapture and the resurrection. Chapter 4 of Revelation is the open door in heaven, and has to deal with the rapture, resurrection. In chapter 5, we find then that here Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. In other words, He shows that His lineage goes back to Adam, and that Adam's sin that Adam could not pay for, Jesus Christ has paid for. And that now all of paradise that is lost, all of the creation that was under the curse, all of the things that Adam forfeited by his sinfulness against God and lost as our inheritance, as offspring of Adam, he lost it all forever. Satan has it in his power. There is a book, a title deed, and God has it written down. The mortgage against it. What is owed against eternal life? How can you acquire eternal life? It can only be a blood redemption, only buy it back by blood sacrifice and a blood redemption. Jesus Christ has already done that. But we find then John being caught up in the Spirit as he views these proceedings. And the Bible says that a call went out through all heaven. Who is worthy to open the book of title deeds of all that belongs to mankind and yet has been lost by Adam? Who is able? Who is worthy? Who is capable to pay the mortgage, if you please, on all of this? Who is able to pay the penalty and redeem it back? There was no one. John said, I began to weep until the angel bumped me and said, wait, there is one. In chapter 5 and verse 11, you find the Bible, actually, chapter 5, verse 11, John says, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. In other words, an innumerable host in heaven. Glory be to God. Think about it. Every aborted baby will be in heaven. Huh? Every individual that didn't have an opportunity under the safety of the blood of Christ. And all of the millions of people who've been born again since the beginning of time. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Yeah. And every creature worshiped Almighty God and gave praise to the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. He it is that is worthy, for he it is that is able. John said, I beheld in previous verses, he said, there was no man that was able to open the books until I beheld one as a lamb that was slain stand up. Jesus Christ. I think one of the oddities in the resurrection is that Jesus did not lose the nail prints in his hands. I think one of the oddities that we will see as we come forth with a brand new body, without scars, without arthritis, with our own teeth, we're going to come forth with a brand new body, perfect body, like his body. But he will stand out above all others, because you'll still see the nail prints in his hands. The scars on his brow where the crown of thorns sat. Where the spear went through his side, the scars and the feet. The scars for all eternity remind us of the price that was paid for our sins and for our eternal life. That blessed hope, the great new song that he gives to us, the song of deliverance, the song of hope, the song of praise to our God continuously again and again and again. I close with this, Jeremiah 33. In Jeremiah 33, we find a picture of Israel restored. You remember what happened to the nation of Israel? The northern kingdom went out into idolatry. It was called Israel. Samaria was its capital, the southern kingdom of Judah, and the Jerusalem was its capital, and eventually it did wrong as well, and God took them into captivity. But prior to that, or after that, God says, in the kingdom they will be one. God will restore Israel and Judah to become one nation again, the nation of Israel. And in the blessings of the kingdom, Where where Jews in their natural bodies will come through the tribulation and repopulate the earth. In many instances, Jesus will rule and reign over the world from the city of Jerusalem, and it will be changed in that day and time. And he's talking about that in this particular chapter, and how all the blessings come back to Jerusalem, and how all the people are happy, and how everyone is rejoicing, and how the praises are being sung, and how kings of the earth bring their bounties into the King of the world, Jesus Christ himself. But here in verse 10, in Jeremiah 33:10, thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, in Jerusalem, in Israel, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without habitant and without beast. This again there shall be heard, he says in verse 10. In verse 11, he answers, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. In other words, during that 1,000-year reign, there will be rejoicing and praising of Jesus, praising the Lord continuously from the city of Jerusalem. What a hymn she wrote. Praise him, praise him. He deserves it. What do we have to do? Beg, borrow, plead. It ought to be a natural thing from the heart of a child that's born again into the family of God to rejoice and to sing praises to him, to give acclamation to the fact that I've been born again, I've been loosed from my sins, I'm not the same as I was. I told someone who was really down on themselves this last week, I said, look, you need to forget about the past. It's over and gone. You need to forget about the past and live for today and make today better than yesterday with the help of Almighty God. Live not just for yourself, but for your family and for your family's family. Live for them and let them see the Lord in you. Sometimes we get to the point in our life we want to have a pity party and just stop and think it's all about us, and it's not. Our little problems and our little furnaces and our little storms of life will soon pass. They have a beginning and they always have an ending. They will pass at the time when God wants them to pass. But until then and after then, we should be sounding forth his name and rejoicing in the hope he's given us, rejoicing that he's coming back for us, and let the world know that we're not without hope. We're not like the people of the world that have no hope of seeing our loved ones again, of rejoicing in the presence of Almighty God. We are not like the world who say goodbye and it's gone forever. We have been delivered into the family of Almighty God, and we can rejoice, as he said, comforting one another in knowing the truth, and that is that we shall see our born-again family again one day. Over there. What a joy. I can praise him for that. Maybe tomorrow when I'm on the lawnmower, I can sing the whole song. I'm not sure. Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank God for his wonderful care for us. Thank God for his love, unconditional. It took me years to learn what unconditional love is all about. Born in a tragedy, I said out loud, I understand what it means now to be loved and to love unconditionally. And that's the way God looks at us. Unconditional love. We're not trying to climb the rung and get favor with God. He already loves us beyond measure. We just need to love Him back and love on Him. Amen? What a glory. What a glory. What a glory. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Jared, pray for us, please.